And so they left totally by faith. Our church, I believe, was the only, we're the only support that you folks had when you left. Is that right? The only physical support except for God. I mean, you know, just the Lord. I mean, all he had was the Bible and the Holy Spirit and Almighty God. I mean, you know, how could he possibly go? Well, anyway, they went, and the Lord's been faithful. You see that they have not starved, and so excellent there. But anyway, they've been up there, and they've been working with a good local church up there that God miraculously led them to. And we feel like there's going to come a good fundamental Bible-believing church out of this up in the future. And I called Nick, and I asked him if he'd come just share a report with us and tell us what the Lord's doing. Nick, we're in no hurry, buddy. I've got a little Bible study here. If I get to give it, fine. If I don't get to give it, fine. You just come share with us. If you take the whole time, that'll be all right. But just come talk to us about New York. Give us a little of that Yankee accent you picked up by now. All right?
Am I on? Great. And the sign says, as soon as you're leaving Brooklyn, it says, you are now leaving Brooklyn. Forget about it. Oh, it's so good to be back here with you guys. It truly is. I don't know how to begin other than Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Most of you probably have it familiarized, memorized. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And what a remarkable year it has been for us up in New York. It has been challenging. It continues to be challenging, but God is blessed in so many different ways. Pastor, you know, as I was traveling down here, we take so much for granted being down south. We were just going through South Carolina and just talking, stopping at different places to get something to eat, and remember stopping at the hotel we looked at, Amber, I never tell you this, but we looked up at the wall at Wendy's, and there was a Bible verse there. And I just knew, obviously, there were some Christian owners there, the place, and just the politeness. And even though those may or may not be saved, you could tell the influence that is down south, that is not up north. And there is such a need. Brother Anderson, Jonathan Anderson, missionary to Mexico, he came up and presented his ministry in our missions conference, and he himself, he said, wow, I just didn't know how shocking the lack of the gospel is up in the Northeast. And those of you that have been there, you truly know the lack of the gospel that's in the Northeast. I'll give you the numbers just to let you know. Most of you, I've already said, there's 8.9 million people on Long Island. That is more than the population of Ireland. There are 7.2 million on Ireland alone. So the vastness and the scale of Long Island and the condensity of that much people, Suffolk County is the same size geographically as Gwinnett County, yet twice the population. Three independent Baptist churches on the island. There is such a need. If you feel led of the Lord to go to Long Island, it will definitely be a calling, no doubt about it. But I encourage you, if you need a place to go soul winning, Long Island's the place to go. I know that you've got souls here as well, but please pray for us on Long Island. What the Lord has done for us this past year has truly been remarkable. I would like pleased to report we've seen 9 souls saved come to the knowledge of the Lord. You say that's that population, that's not a whole lot. Considering the atmosphere, though, that's a pretty good number. The town that we're in, Mastic Beach, roughly has 59,000 people in it. The church that we have up there, currently we run about 60. You say that doesn't seem like a whole lot, but for the area, that is a good number. The typical average-sized church, if you run 120, that's actually a big church. So the need is great. And we've seen, thus far, we've established the HOPE program, which is, the Lord has allowed us to do that as an addictions ministry. That's where we've seen most of our people come from as far as our new converts. The Lord is really doing some mighty things through there. I wish I had some people here to tell you that we're standing here beside. We had a couple just recently, the Searfosses family. Janine Searfoss, she came to the Hope program. She's tried all different kinds of religions. She tried Jehovah's Witness. She tried all different things. She was just searching for the truth. And folks, that's what the main thing is, that the main lack is up there in the Northeast, is just lack of truth. You say, well, don't you have to confront Catholicism? Yeah, I do. Don't you have to confront Judaism, all these different religions? Yeah, I do. But you see, they're lacking the truth. You know, when you have the truth in your hand, you know, it speaks more volumes. You don't have to worry about confronting people. You don't have to worry about arguing with people. You don't have to worry because they're lost. They're searching for truth. All you got to do is just give them the truth. And we've seen some wonderful things happen. And at the Hope program, like I said, we saw Janine, and she started coming. She got saved. Praise the Lord. One evening at the Hope program, we were praying for her husband. Her husband, finally in the parking lot, I remember dropping off some unruly kids on our bus. He was out there standing in the parking lot. And I went out there and talked to him. And his name's Mike. I said, Mike, let me ask you, Mike. I said, you know where you'd spend eternity if you died right now, wouldn't you? And he said, yeah, I'd go to hell. I said, are you concerned about that, Mike? He said, yeah, I really am. I said, well, Mike, I said, you know about Jesus. And I've gone through, Mike, with the plan of salvation before. And he said, yeah, I understand. I said, well, Mike, then what's really stopping you? And he just looked up. He said, nothing. I said, well, Mike, do you want to trust the Lord as your Savior right now? He said, absolutely. And Mike got saved out in the parking lot. And we just seen story after story like that. We had an incident with the Hope program. We were running low on numbers and just asking the Lord to work and to bring some more people in. Of all things, we had a group home that came in, a halfway house type situation that came in. We also had a lady that came in, one of the head leaders of AA, one of the AA programs up there. She came in to mock the program and say how it could be ineffective. And turns out she left there trusting the Lord as her Savior. She got saved, and now we're trying to disciple her right now. And you say, what's your main prayer request? Well, really more than anything is that just for protection from the devil. The devil, his presence up there is truly somewhat overwhelming. It's such an evil and dark area that we live in that a spiritual attack and oppression is constant. So I really would appreciate your prayers on that. You say, how is the progress with the church, the church plant? Well, we're planning on working that. We've been there for a year now, be a year of the coming this January. Just some specific things we want to pray for starting this year is going out and contacting different churches. We are planning on raising support and going about that through different churches. We're not going to go through necessarily a mission board. What we are going to do and what we're asking is if full-time support isn't probable at that time, depending on where we go, at least a couple years support till we get established there on the island. Right now, what we're looking at as far as our housing, we are staying at the church that we're at now. What we're going to plan on doing is to purchase a church building or a building where we could worship at to start the church. And then, Lord willing, we want to find a place that has enough room where we could stay there as well, like we're doing. The reason being for that is because the costs of living up there is extremely high. Not only that, the state of New York has made it so hard, even for churches, because they're tax exempt, that for us to get a mortgage out on a church, we actually have to go through the state Supreme Court of New York to get the approval on a mortgage because we're a church and we're tax exempt. So the state doesn't like churches there whatsoever because they don't get their money from it. So I would appreciate your prayers in that as far as direction on what we do. But what we plan on doing is, like I said, starting to raise support by mid-year of this year. That involves calling different churches and being able to go and to present our ministry there with those churches. So, but in order for that, we need prayer cards. We need to have a presentation assembled, preferably a DVD. Most of those things are handled by mission boards, but we feel led not to go with the mission board. Our supporting church, Bayview Baptist Church, is really on the ball with this thing. They've helped another church a pastor, get a church established there on the island as well. He's the second church in Suffolk County. So just pray that we need the Lord's direction, the Lord's guidance as far as where we need to go and what we need to be due. We are praying about the town of Riverhead as far as the church plan. Riverhead is the county seat of Suffolk County. There's a big population there, of course, more than Mastic Beach, and no Independent Baptist Church whatsoever in that town. But really, looking at Long Island, it kind of looks like a big fish. And we got a North Fork and a South Fork, and it's right in between those forks. So if we can have a church planted there, we believe we could not only reach Riverhead, but reach both North and South Forks of Long Island. South Fork being mostly the Hamptons, which is very rich type people that live there. North Fork being more or less common type people, but nevertheless, it's definitely going to be an act of God to be able to have that church planted there on the island. But as Philippians says, my God shall supply all our needs according to the riches in Christ Jesus. And I just so appreciate your prayers. I appreciate your support. One more thing we found out that my wife is expecting as well. We found over Thanksgiving that we're going to be having our fourth child now. So we praise the Lord for that. We're curious to see how the Lord's going to do all that. We have if you can see our space we're living in now, it's probably about 500 square feet, so it's pretty small. But we know the Lord's going to provide, and He's going to take care of our needs. So I'd like to open this to now, really, if you have any questions for me. Maybe you have some questions about New York, about the ministry. Maybe a little bit more specifics or anything like that. I'd be glad to answer them. Yes. Yes. What we plan on doing, that'll be actually more needed when we have the actual church building established. But that would be great if we could have a group or something like that to start canvassing and knocking on doors. One thing I found out about New Yorkers is when you go soul winning door-to-door visitation, you often, I've been very few times have I been rejected down south. If anything, it's a polite reject. But up there, you will get the door slammed in your face. You will have, you know, people call you names and all that fun stuff. But that's okay. I just get a kick out of it more than anything else. So. And you know that they'll say they're Catholic, which they go to Mass maybe once or twice a year, and they consider themselves Catholic, but couldn't tell you anything about Catholic doctrine. It's more tradition more than is anything else. You talk to the average New Yorker who says they're Catholic or whatever religion belief that they have, system they have. They know very, very little about what they believe. It's all about tradition, where their parents went, and how they grew up, but lost, definitely lost. And you can sense it on the island. You really can. The deadness spiritually that is up there. But any other questions? Yes, Pastor. Yes. We would like to find a church building, which is actually very hard to find. If you do find an actual church building that's designated as a church, more than likely you're going to find a building that's over 75 years old. So it's going to be a very old building, which that in and of itself is going to have a lot of cost just to keep up and maintain. We are specifically avoiding any kind of storefront church. Or church building. The reason being, there's a lot of fly-by-night church buildings that come in and out. The charismatic movement, believe it or not, is very strong in the Northeast. It's not too easily to combat such because of their teaching. It's very liberal and false. But for the most part, those who associate themselves with that, they find themselves with storefront churches, and they're there to basically take the money and leave. And we've seen many instances of that. So if we're looking at just a basic type church building or any kind of building for that amount, the average price is about $500,000. Housing itself, you're not going to find a decent house for under $200,000. So the reason why we're searching for a building and a place we can live combined, A, because the time frame that we're looking at to go about and getting two mortgages and to go with the headache with the state and the government, it would be better off, we're thinking and praying, that we just find a place that we could be able to actually stay in, if at the church building itself, if not a separate building adjoining to the church, as like a parsonage. They are, but not a whole lot. But at the same token, the houses aren't selling, but the actual property values, the housing prices haven't dropped a whole lot. You can get a house for $150,000, $140,000, but you're going to find a house that's in very much disrepair. It needs a lot of work done to it. But the typical house that's decent, that's livable, that would support our family would be around $200,000 to $250,000. So, and then property taxes on that, your average property tax bill is $4,000 to $7,000. So the price of living on Long Island, that's why you wonder why all these Northerners coming down south. Well, that's the reason why. It's just too expensive to live. But there's still many on the island that need the Lord and the gospel. So, any other questions? Yes, Brother Bill. The town doesn't permit them. The reason being is for whatever reason they don't permit them. The town is a very overruling, mixed up. I don't know how to describe it. They've got a lot of regulations and rules that are really unnecessary, but they almost make it extremely hard for you to do much of anything. But the mobile homes, if they do have any, they're older ones and they're restricted to 55 and older communities, the ones that we've seen. So, hey, bro. Riverhead, yes, sir. It is about, it's about a 30-minute drive, I would say, which would put us, I'm trying to think, Amber, about how many miles you think, about 20 miles or so away from Bayview. In reality, you could take a dart and throw it anywhere on the map of Long Island and there needs to be a church there. There's just such a big need there. But the mentality of living on the island is anything further than 15 minutes away is too far. No one's going to drive. Yes, it is. It is east. Absolutely not. We have a family that actually moved from upstate, the Rochester area, to the Hamptons areas, and they're traveling about 45 to 50 minutes away from our church, almost an hour, which really by Long Island terms, that's way too far, and it is a good family in our church, but we definitely need a church plan out further east because there is nothing east of us, absolutely nothing. Yes, we do. In fact, if there's any of those that are the hardest to win to the Lord, it would be the Islamic, the Muslims, and the Jews. I have witnessed to a Jewish man and pray for him. His name is Jay. Jay came to our church service, believe it or not, with a friend, with a man by the name of David, who is a Jew. Who was saved and came to the Lord as a Savior, but he came with them, and Jay came this close to trusting the Lord. But what holds, like most Jewish and Islamic faith, what holds them back is their family. He knew he would be totally rejected by his family, so he did not make a decision of faith that night, but he was deeply under conviction. So pray for Jay that he could be saved. Most of the time, like I said, when you run into that even Jews or Muslims alike, most of the time they don't know enough about their faith really to even argue with you. If you just give them the truth, it'll set hard in their hearts. But that's the main thing, is that they know they'll be rejected by their family, and so just pray for Jay. I appreciate that. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Yes, I am working. I work a part-time job at Home Depot. in the mornings. So, yes, yes. So I still have to do that. And our pastor, he's not employed full-time at the church as well. He's got a separate job as well. But amazingly, the church that we're at is a very giving people. And we're not a big congregation at Bayview, but they've got a big burden and zeal to see churches planted on the island. And so by God's help and God's grace, he's allowing us to do it. So, and that's only by his help and his grace. So, anybody else? Yes, bro. Bayview's been there for, this will be their 15th year. Actually, no, 20th year. 20th year. I was thinking, 20th year, this coming year, they'll be there for 20 years. So, that was actually a church plant out of Lehigh Valley Baptist Church, which is in Lehigh Valley, Pennsylvania. And they started that church there. So it's interesting how it's coming full circle, and now they're helping to have another church planted there on the island as well. So, hey, brother. Yes.
How active is the church as far as outreach?
Their outreach is good. Like most churches, they feel like that some of the church members become complacent, like usual. I would say not like usual, but, you know, that's the way some churches are. But we do have a heavy outreach area. We do have soul winning opportunities. We do canvas and we do reach our area. It's not very there's so many houses in the area that we're at. You really it's hard to reach every house in Master Beach within the year. You really can't do it. Because there's just so many houses to get. But one thing that does take a toll on you, and you really, your encouragement must come from the Lord, is because there is so much rejections, there's a lot of people that say, well, there's just other ways to reach the people. And there is. We do door-to-door canvassing, and that is our main soul-winning emphasis. But we have seen, I would say, the majority of our salvations, the people that have come to know the Lord as their Savior, has been through the addictions program. And the reason for that is Mastic Beach is a very heavily drug-ridden area and compared to the rest of Long Island. And so we've had a very big impact with the HOPE program there being there. But we still go soul winning, still go door-to-door knocking. And despite the door slammings or anything, we still go out. So, praise the Lord. All right. Anybody else? Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Currently, we are supporting about 20 missionaries. Yeah, that we're supporting right now. And hoping to take on more. Brother Anderson being one of them. We just took him on for support. So, praise the Lord. All right. Yes. Teenagers. That's an interesting story. There is our teenage group that we have, our youth group have, is quite small. We've only got about 6 or 8. The pastor we had previous there to our youth leader that we had, he was very big into sports, and they had all kinds of activities and things like that. But we would typically, on an activity, they would run 50 to 60 teenagers for the activity. However, very little fruit came from it. It was pretty much just there for an activity and nothing more than that. The hardest thing, I would say, is because Satan is got such a grip on Long Island, it seems like that once we start discipling and try to get people grounded in the Lord, there's so many outside pressures that are influencing to take them away, to draw them away from the Lord. Some friends, peer pressure, drugs, alcohol, you name it. It's very rough. Even with the families that we've seen newly converted, their families would literally mock them, laugh them to scorn because of their decision of faith. And you just don't have any kind of support whatsoever other than the church to support them, to encourage them in their faith. And so that makes it tough, especially on a teenager. But we're there to support them. We're there to encourage them, no doubt about it. But as far as teenage groups, right now we're at a pretty small number. But Lord willing, we'll be able to go out and win some more for the Lord. So, all right. All right. Well, Pastor.
Big guy, you know, question for you. We've asked everybody who has come in recent years, our missionaries, what is the greatest thing that you've seen God do? And just kind of like to hear your answer to that. And I tell you what I fail to tell a lot of folks. It doesn't have to be the greatest thing, because we found that people just really scratch their head. What would be the greatest thing? What would you do is tell us some great thing that God did?
The greatest thing for me, when we came to Long Island, it was a long time before we really saw fruit from our soul winning, from our the Hope program, for our evangelism effort. And that was the main thing I had to overcome in my own heart, because it's tough when you get the constant rejection of, no, I don't want the God. No, don't bother me. Don't bother me. Or they'll have it seems like everybody in Mastic Beach has a big dog. And you knock on their door, and that dog's right there to greet you, barking and everything else. And so that really discouraged me to the fact that, well, Lord, we're just not seeing any fruit. And Lord, I really want to see you work in a mighty way and see some souls saved. And our first converts that we saw were Janine and Michael Searfoss, the Searfoss family. And that really, when we saw them growing in the Lord and seeing them set free from their addictions and continue to see their growth, that really just God just showed to me that, you know what, even in the darkest of places, you know, I'm going to come through. And there's going to be fruit. And just keep at it. Keep giving the gospel. You know, do your part, but God's going to do His part, and we're going to see fruit. And that was the biggest encouragement to me. The expense of living up there is high, but we knew all that going up there, God was going to take care of us that way. But that was the biggest thing for me thus far, was just to see some souls saved and see God really do a work in other people's heart. That makes it worth all the while. If we were to fold up, and we're not, but if we were to fold up tomorrow, it would have been worth it just to see one soul saved in my own heart. But praise the Lord that God has us there, and to start a work there in the ministry, we know that, or a work there on the island, we know that for sure. And we see God leading us that way. That was the biggest thing, was to see God work in saving souls. So, amen.